Hey guys, welcome to the Indie Game Development Podcast. Here we tackle the challenges of indie game development head on, from the technical to the emotional, and talk about the secrets to conquering self-doubt on your journey to crafting games that people will love. Subscribe so you never miss an episode, and if you haven't already, give us a rating and review so that this podcast gets shared with more people. We really, really appreciate it. Ready? Let's go. So I don't want to start this episode being a Debbie Downer, but it's just a fact. It's getting harder and harder to release a financially successful video game. And that's true whether you're in the AAA space or whether you're in the indie space or somewhere in between. The number of games released on Steam is continuing to skyrocket year after year. It's driving up competition. And this trend is only set to grow exponentially as free game engines continue to improve and get better and better, and tools like AI and code generation make creating games easier than ever before. And this leads us to one of the most important questions that you can ask yourself as an indie game developer. How do I get people to want to play my game? How do I market my game effectively? I'm hoping that by the end of this episode, one thing will become clear. The longer that you wait to market your game, the harder it's going to be. Okay, let's get into it. Game dev is filled with really lofty ideas that are hard to execute on. We all have games that we played in the past from our childhood or whatever that made us feel a certain way. And many of us get into game dev because we want to create that same experience for other people through our own games. Or whether, even if it didn't make you feel something, you experienced something, right? You pictured yourself as the hero, or adventure is a big one for me, right? Like the Ocarina of Time, Legend of Zelda, being the hero and going on this big adventure like that. I have difficulty describing what emotion that made me feel, but it left an imprint on my childhood. It was huge. And I take that feeling with me every time I make a video game. I really want to, my dream game is to make a game that makes other people feel like they get to be the hero in that story. But regardless of what it is for you, games like this are dream games, games where we want to recreate experiences that we've experienced in the past and be able to pass that on to other people through our own games. Games like this, they take a while to make. That's why we call them our dream game. They take time. And because of that, they need to generate more revenue in order to let you continue to make games. Which means the bigger your game, the more important marketing becomes in order for it to be considered a success. Because the longer it takes you to make a game, the more it's costing you in terms of time. So the longer it takes you to make a game, the more it needs to earn in order for it to be a sustainable thing that you can continue to do. So in 2023, according to what I found on Google, the numbers are different every time I search it by like a little bit, but 14,465 games, give or take, were released in 2023. That is 1,206 games per month, which is roughly 40 games per day on Steam. That is a sobering number, to say the least. So if that doesn't put it in your head that marketing is important, I don't know what will. 40 games a day. So let's talk about how to get your game to stand out from those other 39 that are going to release the same day as yours. Method one is planning to go viral. And I want to be very, very clear from the beginning. Doing this and only this, just planning to go viral and nothing else, statistically speaking, will not work out for you. That would be like releasing almost nothing for a long time. No trailers, no shorts, no devlogs, no blog posts. And then one day dropping a trailer and hoping it's going to blow up. That's not smart. That's not a good idea. If you've worked for a long time on something and release a trailer that gets only a couple hundred or maybe 1,000 views, you're going to feel pretty crushed if this is what you were counting on is going viral. So this method needs to be combined with other methods. I want to be very clear about that, okay? But viral ability, if that is in fact even a word, is something that can go a long, long way. Okay. And the perfect example of this is the game Choo Choo Charles. Two Star Games, the creator of Choo Choo Charles, has a YouTube channel that completely blew up, okay, because of the viral ability of his game. There is an interview he did with indie game developer and teacher Thomas Brush on YouTube where he shares all of the details of making his game. It's a really great interview if you want to go and check it out. I highly recommend it. But the premise that made his game go viral was that he took an iconic character from a kid's show, Thomas the Tank Engine, and slapped it into a horror game and turned it into something completely nightmarish and memorable as hell. Like, how could a game about running away from a spider train not go viral? And if you've never heard of Choo Choo Charles, go look at an image of this train. It's horrifying. It's amazing for a horror game. That game launched with 550,000 wishlists, which is ridiculous. That's insanely, insanely high. He's probably one of the most successful solo developers on the planet right now. Another game that you very likely have heard of, I believe if you go to Steam and you look at the most wishlisted games and you filter by indie, I believe Unrecord, if that's how you say it, is number 3, I believe. Just Google it and go watch the trailer, and you will completely understand why this game went viral. It is so realistic looking. It's completely ridiculous. It looks like you're watching like through a body cam on an actual person running through abandoned buildings going on like, you know, a shooting spree. What might or might not make a game go viral can be hard to plan for, though. This is the problem with this plan and why it needs to be implemented with other things. It's exactly why this isn't good to solely rely on, but adding it to your marketing plan can help you. Find an it factor that will make people talk about your game. Is it meme-worthy? Is it an idea that will get gamers talking? And there's, you know, 1,000 ways to accomplish this, right? From Choo Choo Charles to the kill screens in Among Us, right? Like there's so many different approaches that you can take. But if you think that you've got something that is viral, then that is very much something that can help you get your game noticed, which is never a bad thing. Method 2 is use hooks that get people talking. I have a funny opinion about hooks because I feel like they're talked about in a weird way in the indie space because people will tell you, you have to use a hook in your game. You do not have to use a hook in your game. You don't. But hooks will get people talking about your game if they're implemented right. And if people are talking about your game, they're going to want to buy your game. So just like viral ability, hooks are another thing that are only going to serve to help you market your game better. And also contrary to what you may have heard, hooks come in different shapes and sizes. There are mechanic hooks, where something about the way your game is played is different than most. And if you want a good example, go Google Pepper Grinder. That is a great example of this. Pepper Grinder takes one of the movement mechanics from Ori and I think it was the Will of the Wisps, where you can dig through the sand. Maybe it was the first one, I don't remember. But that ability where Ori can like drill through the sand and just like swim through it, Pepper Grinder's the whole game is like that. That is how you move. That is a great mechanical hook. But there are also visual hooks and story or idea hooks. Cult of the Lamb is the first game that comes to mind for me that employs all of these hooks. It is obviously gorgeous and unique looking. You run and operate a cult and try to grow your followers. That's a story hook. And the branching paths where you can go from marrying your followers to murdering them, I would call that also a mechanical hook. Here's the thing about hooks. A good hook will be simple and easy to understand. If you have to write out paragraphs and paragraphs to get people to understand your hook, it's not a good hook. You need to be able to show it off in a 20-second video clip or less. Or better yet, you can show it in a GIF. But if you need more time than 20 seconds, people's attention spans are not long enough for it to really grab a larger audience. Okay? Method 3 is get streamers and YouTubers to play your game. And this is very self-explanatory, right? Request Steam keys, send those Steam keys to a long list of YouTubers and streamers. A lot of them will not take them or play your game. Some of them will, but eventually everything boils down to math. The more eyeballs that your game gets, the more wish lists it's going to get if it hasn't been released yet, or the more eyeballs you get on it after release, the more sales you're going to get. And the more visually appealing or hooky your game is, the more those eyeballs will eventually convert to wish lists, and the more likely those wish lists will eventually convert to sales. There are also many dedicated YouTube channels that consistently post videos about upcoming indie games. So you could reach out to one of those channels to get your game featured as well, because they're always looking for nice new content to feature. So that's something you could try as well. Method four is paid advertising. And I get it, not everyone has a budget to pay for marketing, especially hobby developers that where you're just doing this for an hour or two a day and you just want to make a game. You're not wanting to pull money out of your pocket in order to pay for marketing. I get it. But there are some low budget options available that you can still have full control over. Google Ads are an obvious one. And if the idea of those scare you, if you've never used them, just for your information, you do have full control over your budget and therefore how much you spend, even on a daily basis. You can tweak all of that and put limits on it all. You have full control over it. You could email YouTubers or streamers and see if they'd be willing to sponsor your game on their channel for a fee or play it for a fee. A couple weeks back, Patch Magazine was kind enough to send us a copy of their indie magazine from the UK, all the way over in the UK. I'm in Canada. Anyone who subscribes to a magazine like this, which is an indie game magazine, that is all it features is indie game stuff, and anyone who subscribes to that is the perfect target market, and a magazine ad with them is not even very expensive. I asked them, they're very, very reasonably priced. Method five is festivals and conferences. When you have an actual vertical slice to show, game dev conferences, if you can make it out, you know, if there's one near you, they're a pretty great way to go historically. You're going to get wish lists at conferences as well as valuable feedback, both of which are great. But the main advantage of this is that YouTubers and journalists go to these events and they will make content about what they see. Right? The good and the bad for them. So if they like your game in some capacity, you might get articles or videos made about your game, which is fantastic. Steam Next Fest is one that obviously needs to be mentioned here. If you've never heard of it, you need to look into it because it's a big deal for indie developers. And a word of caution, I watched a really good video by Game Dev Greetable. He is a YouTuber. About his experience with his Steam Next Fest and him publishing his demo on there. And a big takeaway that he learned from his experience at Next Fest was he participated and uploaded his demo too early. Also, it's worth noting, by the way, you can only participate in Steam Next Fest once per game. Okay, you upload a demo and then that's it. You cannot do another Steam Next Fest, so you need to time it right. All the top Next Fest games that he saw were mostly games that were released the following month or sooner, which makes a lot of sense if you think about it, because you can capitalize on that momentum from Next Fest and then bring that right into your launch. It's perfect. If you end up dropping your demo and then it's going to be another 3 years before your game launches, right? Like, unless you're Team Cherry with Silksong, a lot of people are going to forget about your demo or they won't care about it by the time it launches. There needs to be a tighter window there. So if you're participating in Next Fest, make sure that the demo that you're dropping there, make sure it's in a polished state that is representative of the final product, okay? Because again, you only get to enter your game once. Method six is online posting. Reddit and Twitter are pretty standard marketing tools, online tools that I see advised to game developers. Wishlist Wednesday is a common trope among developers when you're kind of essentially exchanging wishlists with other developers is basically what's happening. You post your game on Wishlist Wednesday. Some people are going to wishlist your game. You're going to wishlist other people's games. This might boost your game slightly on the Steam algorithm because the more wishlists you have, the more likely they are to feature your game, which is a good thing for organic new traffic. But honestly, other developers are not really your target audience, especially ones that come from such a low quality wish list like a wishlist for wishlist. Those people are probably not going to buy your game. So I don't know how many of these will actually translate into sales. Method seven, contacting journalists is another thing you can try. A lot of them have quotas in terms of how much they have to write. And so you may find some receptive to looking at your game and writing about it. But again, when it comes to this method, the more of an it factor your game has, the more viral ability your game has, the better your chances of one of them actually replying to you. If you have another very generic, indie game that doesn't really stand out, it doesn't do anything to stand out from the rest, then chances are they're not going to take notice. Method 8 is you can become your own brand, okay? And this brings us to probably the most divisive and controversial method, and that is, instead of trying to get other streamers and YouTubers to play your game, why not start your own YouTube channel or podcast channel and market it to an audience that you grow over time? I personally feel like this method will grow more and more relevant and necessary over time as competition continues to grow and the number of games that get published each year continues to grow. However, I'm extremely biased on this because I am a YouTuber and a podcaster, so take what I say, you know, with a grain of salt here. You're here listening to the podcast, so if you didn't know that we're on YouTube, my wife and I have a YouTube channel called Sasquatch Beast Studios. We're at about 27,000 subscribers right now as of the time of this episode being recorded. So very much I'm biased towards this method. So again, take it with a grain of salt. But my advice here is really, it's less about YouTube specifically and more about growing your own brand that you can market your game under. Could be a podcast or a stream, YouTube, TikTok, blog articles. It doesn't really matter what the medium is. The thing with this method is it's very slow. That's the thing you got to understand. It takes forever to get anywhere. And it also takes time away from developing your game. And that is a really, really big payoff that some people do not want to pay. But in some cases, it can make all the difference. In the case of my wife and I, if you didn't, you know, we dropped a Q&A interview style type of podcast episode, and we dropped an episode on our YouTube channel as well a couple of weeks ago where we just answered a bunch of questions that have been asked us. And because of our YouTube channel and this podcast and sponsorships and all of and Patreon and all of these different things that we do, we are actually just about covering our bills now. You know, and if you don't know our story, I quit my job, we sold our house, and we've been trying to make it as game developers / YouTubers and podcasters, right? So there are a lot of pros and cons of growing your own brand, but a big con is taking time away from development. But a big pro is you can start generating other revenue sources that can make making games sustainable for you, even if your games end up not being as financially successful as you might have hoped. So personally, for me, I feel like it takes some of the risk out of the equation. That is why we do what we do. But again, growing your own brand, in some cases, it can make all the difference. Choo Choo Charles, it wasn't just viral. It was viral, but it wasn't just that. He had his own YouTube channel, and his devlogs were getting millions of views per video. And he's really funny. He's really charming. Like, I can see why his videos blew up. But also, I have to assume that his videos did well because of the viral ability of his game. So those two things worked hand in hand very much. But launching with 550,000 wishlists is an extreme example. Most of us will never see those kinds of numbers. And I'm not being negative. That's just the reality of the situation. I interviewed a YouTuber by the name of Watt Designs recently on the podcast and on my YouTube channel, and his game, Isle Goblin, is currently sitting at 20,000 wishlists, or currently as of the time that I interviewed him. He has just over 50,000 subscribers on YouTube, and he's got 20,000 wishlists, which was, by the way, his original goal by the time he launched. He has not launched yet, and he's not all that close to launching. He's now revised his goal to 50,000 wishlists instead of 20. And he's doing that because it's honestly a realistic goal at this point for him. If you launch a Kickstarter, which is something that I think most indie developers start off thinking, should I do a Kickstarter? Should I not do a Kickstarter? It's on the tip of every developer's brain. If you do launch one, you will raise more funds if you have your own brand. That's just how it is. If you want a publisher, they will take you more seriously if you have an audience already. If you join Steam Next Fest and you have an audience already, you can expect your game to rank better and therefore get more wishlists. But again, there are a lot of pros. a lot of pros, but editing videos, making podcasts, writing consistent blog articles, all of these things take time away from working on your game. So you gotta go into this knowing that this is a double-edged sword. But no matter what methods you use, here's the thing. All forms of marketing have momentum behind it. One splash near launch is not going to do what you probably want it to do. Riding a wave for a long time that gets bigger and bigger and more powerful over time is going to make success that much easier to obtain. So whatever you do, make a plan and start doing it consistently and start doing it soon. You want to go into the launch of your game with the momentum of months or better yet, years of effort behind you. That's going to be a really powerful wave of momentum. It's a really annoying and weirdly paradoxical truth, but it's the truth. The more wish lists you have, the more wish lists you will get. And this seems to be true of other things like podcast download numbers and YouTube subscriber numbers. The more you have, the more you get. So do whatever you can for as long as you can to get them and build your momentum before launch. If you are interested in connecting with other awesome indie developers or aspiring developers like yourself, check out our Discord server. We have an amazing community with over 1,700 members as of the time of recording this. The link is in the description for that. And as an indie developer, I feel it is my duty to inform you to go to Steam, search Samurado, go check it out, wishlist it if you are interested in fast-paced roguelikes, because this game is really shaping up. It's awesome. I don't have a release date for you just yet, but go and wishlist it because it's going to be great. And that's all I've got for this episode. If you love this episode and if you haven't already left a rating and review, please consider doing that now. It really helps the podcast grow and reach more awesome people like yourself. Thank you so much for listening.